Just wanna thank you, Lord, for every time you've heard me pray. I just wanna thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, he came along and made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had a thousand lives to live, I'd live them all for my He's been so good to me. That is the least I could afford. He's made good times outnumber the bad. Been the best friend I've ever had. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've heard me pray. I just want to thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Now my Lord has been so good to me, through troubles and trials, there he would be. He shined his light through my darkest days, only my Lord could show me. He took this heart so full of sin and made it so clean and pure within. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've heard me pray. I just want to thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along, you made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord for all the good singing this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with you to Mark chapter number 4. Do our best to get into Mark chapter number 4 and ask God to bless and help as we preach this morning. I've been sharing some with you about a friend of mine that got saved recently, an elder man that was in the hospital. And by the way, I just want to praise the Lord. They've moved him to a nursing home now, and hopefully this week they're talking about letting him go home. He's been battling COVID for some time, but he got saved a couple of weeks ago, and been spending some time with him and talking with him. And he'd never been exposed to church a whole lot, didn't know anything much about the Bible, and he said he'd always wanted to, he said, his words, not mine, I'm too dumb to understand it and too proud to ask. He said, but you know, there's been a lot of times in my life through a lot of different situations, he said, that I've prayed. He said, I've laid at home in my bed and I've prayed. He's got a son that's been paralyzed. He was a tree cutter, and he cut a tree and it fell on him, and he's been paralyzed. And he said, there's been nights that I would lay at home and I would pray for my son. And he said, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know what I was doing. And we were talking about how God revealed himself to this man through the years. And he said, I'd lay there and pray and pray. And he said, I didn't even know how to pray, didn't even know what to pray for, anything else. He said, but Josh, he said, sometimes when I was praying, he said, it was almost like I'd feel a cool breeze come through my bedroom at night. And I said, that was the presence of God, Lincoln. I said, I know you weren't saved, and I know what the Bible says about prayer, but God was revealing himself to you even through a prayer that you didn't even know what you were saying or believe in salvation-wise in the one that you were praying to. Well, you know what, church? I'm pretty sure I just felt that same cool breeze right over there just a minute ago. God's presence is here this morning. He is here with us, and if you're here this morning, you got a need in your life, if you got a spiritual need, I want you to know that God is able to meet that need. Most of all, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, today is the day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You don't know whether tomorrow will come or not. Do not leave this building without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's get into Mark chapter number 4. I'll do my best to preach what God's laid upon my heart. I ask you to be much in prayer for me. If you will, stand with me. Very familiar scripture. We'll read a few verses together this morning. If you're able and willing, stand with me. It's an opportunity to stretch your legs and also to be reverent to God's Word. When I read this, you're going to say, well, the preacher has run out of stuff to preach on. He's going back to some old faithfuls. And you know what? I'm glad that God's Word is exciting every time I read it. The 50th time that I read passages, it's just as exciting as it was the first time I read it. And you know what? I struggle with that. And I say, God, they're going to think I've run out of stuff to preach on. As long as I preach this Word right here and I allow God's Holy Spirit to use me and to speak the message, it don't matter if I preach the same thing 10 times in a row. God can use it. So y'all just pray and we'll seek God and what He wants us to have. Let's start Mark chapter number 4. Verse number 35, let's begin reading. And the same day when the even was come, he sat with them, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for your presence that's here, God. And I pray that you'll just let it be even more powerful during the preaching of your word. God, I pray that we'll clear our minds and our hearts of any other thing, and God, just focus on allowing you to speak to us. God, I pray, dear Father, most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. Help us as Christians, God, that we grow, God, that we study your word, that we go out into this world, and we let our light so shine before men that through our good works they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do, and in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. You may be seated. Here in Mark chapter number 4 in verses 35 through 41, very familiar scripture, scripture that you've heard. If you've been in church for any length of time at all, you've heard this scripture many times. And man, the power that is in these verses of scripture this morning. But as we read them this morning, there's a few things that I want us to look at and then maybe a main point. So I'm going to preach for about 15 minutes probably before I get to the message. So just hang on and we'll get there in a minute. So as we get in Mark chapter number 4 and we look here at this event that took place in the Bible, I don't like to call them stories because it's not just some fairy tale. It's not just something that you read at night before bedtime and just go, oh, that's such a wonderful story. This is real. This is history right here. This is real life events that took place. But I want you to draw your attention to a couple of verses as we get started this morning. First of all, let's look in verse number 35 and let's look at the end of verse number 35. We know by reading the scripture that these disciples, they have found themselves in a storm. And as they're out there in the middle of that storm, first of all, they have the question, does God even care or does Jesus even care that we're going to die out here? Now, they haven't completely figured out who Jesus is. They should have because he's told them a couple of times as we get into this scripture, but they haven't quite got all the pieces of the puzzle put together yet. But as they're following him, as he's doing these miracles, he looks at them one day and he says, now let us pass over unto the other side. Well, they get out here in the middle of this sea and all of a sudden this storm pops up. The Bible tells us that the wind, that it was a windstorm. And as we see this, the Bible says that the water began to fill the ship. And all of a sudden, they're out here, and they're scared, and they're fearful, and they think they're going to die. And they're looking at all these different things. And I wonder if in their mind, they were like, what in the world are we doing out here in the middle of the sea? Why in the world are we out here? Maybe in their mind, they're going, it was because of him. He told us to come out here. Well, I want you to know something, that in our lives, a lot of times, we get in the middle of a storm. We get in the middle of something, and it feels like it's about to kill us. We become afraid, and we look, and we think that our ship is about to sink, that all of this stuff is coming against us. And the first thing that we think of is, am I out of the will of God? Now, there's an opportunity there for us to take a self-evaluation and to look at our spiritual life and to be sure that it's not something in our life that has brought this on, that it's not correction from God. There is a good opportunity for that in there. But I want you to know that every storm that you go through, everything that happens in your life that is not just peachy, everything that happens that's not a bed of roses, it's not because of sin in your life. It's not because you're out of the will of God. These disciples were right in the middle of the will of God. He told them, he said, you get in the ship and let's go to the other side. And while they were on that journey, here comes this storm. This storm had a purpose. This storm had a mission. And I want you to know that God was going to do something in these disciples' lives because they were in the middle of this storm with him out here on the sea. So when you get in the middle of a storm, don't always think, well, God's punishing me. Here it is. Everything's not perfect in my life, so God must be punishing me. You may be in the perfect will of God. Now look and see what that storm is fixing to teach you. Now look and see what God is fixing to show you. You may still encounter a storm right in the perfect will of God. Let's move on to verse number 36. I want you to look as they went and got in their ship and they began to go to the other side. Verse number 36, and at the end of that verse, the Bible says, and there were also with him other little ships. Now the disciples, they get in the ship with Jesus and they begin to cross over to the other side. Here comes this storm. They become afraid. They think the boat's going to sink. And you look out there and I'm sure these other little ships are in the same storm that they were in. They're out there and they're in the same storm and the wind's beating on them. The water's coming over into their boat. But I want you to notice where the disciples' focus was when that happened. They only cared about themselves and their situation. But I want you to know this morning that all of those other little ships that were in that same storm, they needed help also. They needed someone to speak to the storm on their behalf also, but they didn't have Jesus with them. I want you to know, church, that in the middle of all this chaos that we're in the middle of all these situations that we face every single day, in the middle of the storm that you may have, there's somebody close by in the proximity of your life that is experiencing similar chaos. They're in a storm kind of like yours, but they don't have Jesus in the boat with them, and they need to hear from you who the master of that storm really is. See, those disciples, they become so worried about themselves. And they was like, Jesus, don't you even care that we're going to die? They didn't go to him and say, Jesus, don't you care about these other little ships out here? They don't have you in the boat. They don't have the master of the wind. They don't have the maker of the storm in their boat. And they're going through the same thing that we are, that they were all focused on themselves. But I want you to know that in our daily lives as we go out and the same storms that I've got, the same chaos that you have, there is people out here that are lost, that don't know Jesus Christ, that don't have the peace of God in their life, that don't haven't experienced the grace of God, that haven't experienced salvation, and they're in the middle of the same thing, and they need to know that you got Jesus in your boat, and they need Jesus in their boat. Man, I know it's chaotic out here. I know the things that we're going through. Man, you can ride around and you just see all kinds of different things, and it seems like we get stuck on looking at gas prices and political mess and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to know something, church. I believe that the time is drawing near that the church is going to be called up out of here. I believe that the time is drawing. You say, well, preacher, they've been saying that since way back when. Well, I want you to know what? It's way back when closer today than it was way back then. I want you to know that it could happen at any time. Tell me something that would have to take place before the church could be raptured out of here. I can't find anything. The next step to happen as far as prophecy, the next thing to happen is for the church to be called up out of here. I believe it could happen at any time. And I want you to know something. There's a lot of little ships out here that are in trouble. They're in a storm and they need Jesus Christ. We need to quit worrying about ourselves and our situations because you know what? God's going to provide for us. He said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. I want you to know that he said he would supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. But I want you you to know something. All those other ships don't have Jesus in the boat. We need to go out and share a little Jesus with those other ships. Amen. Let's look at another point here. I feel sorry for all those other little ships that don't have Jesus in them. The disciples are in the perfect will of God. And I want you to know this morning. I'd rather be in a storm. Now listen, I don't think there could be anything any scarier than being in the middle of the ocean in the middle of a storm. Some of y'all seen that movie, The Perfect Storm. And on the cover of that movie, there's a wave rolling up and there's a boat standing just about like this right here. Lord, just take me out of here. I can't handle it. I can't hardly even watch that movie. I don't think there would be anything any scarier than being in the middle of an ocean in a storm like that. I don't think there could be any situation that would be worse than being in the middle of that storm, feeling so hopeless, knowing that this could be the end at any moment, that you can't do anything. There is no power that you have that can do anything about this situation. I think that would be one helpless feeling. But church, I want you to know right now that I'd rather be in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that ocean, on a boat that don't have a motor, that don't have anything. I'd rather be in that storm with Jesus than to be on dry ground without Him. Because as Jesus has been doing these miracles, and the reason that the people were following Him was because they had been seeing Him doing all these amazing things. They've been seeing Him do these miracles and they're following. And now He gets on this boat and He goes over to the other side and they get in the middle of this storm. But as they are, look, there's no miracles happening on the shore right now. They don't have Jesus with them on the shore right now. But right in the middle of that storm, the disciples feeling helpless. The disciples feeling afraid. The disciples knowing that they don't have any power to do anything about their situation. But what they forgot is Jesus was on board. I'd rather have Jesus on my boat in the middle of a storm than to be on dry ground in a calm day without Jesus Christ. As we continue reading these verses of Scripture, verse number 38. The Bible says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Listen, church, you may be in a place that you're in a storm, you're in the middle of chaos, you got situations going on in your life. And honestly, I mean, you're not doing it to be derogatory towards God. You're not doing it to blame God. But really, deep down, you're saying, God, do you even care? Because I don't feel you. God, do you even care? Because it don't seem like I can hear from you. God, do you even care what's going on in my life? I pray and I pray and nothing happens. And nothing's taking place. But I want you to know, just because you don't see, look, when the disciples look back and they seen Jesus back there asleep, just because they didn't see Him doing anything didn't mean He wasn't in control. He was in control back there asleep, just like He was when He stepped out on the bow of that ship. And I know sometimes it gets tough. And that's the reason we need each other, to encourage each other and admonish each other. Sometimes life gets tough, and you need somebody to physically say or physically do something that you can see or touch to encourage you in the middle of situations. And sometimes it doesn't work like that with God. That's where our faith comes in. But I want you to know, just because you don't see Him working, just because you don't see Him right in the middle of it, does not mean that He's not in control. Because He is absolutely in control of the situation that you're in. As we continue reading verse number 39, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Man, how many times have you experienced that great calm in your life? How many times? But you know what happens? God can come in and He can settle a storm in our life. God can come in the middle of a chaotic situation, in the middle of something that's about to drive us bonkers, to put it as plain as I know how to put it. And God can come in and He can move in that situation, and it's not long until we've already forgotten what He did. The disciples had seen Him already move and do miracles and do amazing stuff. Man, they'd seen Him cleanse lepers. They'd seen Him heal people. They see Him do, and all of a sudden they're out here in the middle of a storm, and they're afraid, and they're all chaotic because of it. Church, how many times has God come through for you? Has He ever let you down? He's not going to let you down this time either. He's not going to let you down next time either. In the middle of that calm, when we feel that great calm, it is so wonderful, but it's not long until we forget. I was talking to my little buddy yesterday, and as he's in the nursing home, he's ready to go home. He's wanting to get back to a normal life as much as possible for him. And he was just like, man, I just need this. I need this. And I said, look, Let's not forget that 4 weeks ago, we didn't know whether you'd ever come out of a hospital. Let's not forget that 4 weeks ago that we were praying and asking God for you to be here. So let's be thankful that we're here, and let's pray for the next step. So many times we forget that God has moved us from station to station to station. We get to the next station that we prayed and asked God to help us to get to, but we forgot where God brought us from. Church, don't forget where God brought you from. They're in the middle of this storm, and here they comes that great calm. Let's continue reading. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? After all you've seen and after all you've experienced, why are you afraid and why don't you have any faith? Verse number 41, we're getting ready to get to the message. And they feared exceedingly. Look, they was afraid of the storm, and now they're afraid of the calm. Ain't that amazing? They was afraid in the storm, and now that it's calm, they're still fearful. Because they don't understand what God just did. I love it when God does stuff that I don't understand. If you could explain my God, then I'm not serving much of a God, am I? If you could understand God, I'll just be honest with you. If Lynn Weddle could explain God to me, I would know that God is a simple, simple God. No harm intended in that. If a human could explain God, thank you, brother. I love you. If a human could explain your God to you and tell you what your God is thinking and tell you what your God is doing and tell you what your God's plan is, then we're not serving much of a God at all. I'm glad that God is just so amazing to me that I can't even understand what he's doing sometimes. But they were afraid in the storm, and now they're afraid in the calm. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That leads us to our thought this morning. What kind of God are you serving? What kind of God do you have this morning? The disciples here, as they experience the storm, as they feel the calm, they are still afraid and they say, what manner of man? And I want you to know something, that yes, Jesus Christ was man. The Bible says that he took on flesh. But what they haven't figured out yet, or what they're not giving attention to yet, is the fact that yet he is 100% man here in this boat, but he's also 100% God here in this boat. That when he come here and he was laying in that manger, this come up in Sunday school this morning, that he was laying there in that manger. He was God there in that manger, just as he was a baby Jesus laying there in that manger. As he was hanging there on the cross and his body was dying, his man side was dying, I want you to know that he was still 100% God hanging there on that cross. We are serving a God that is so big and so powerful that he is bigger than anything, any storm that could come into our lives. As we look into the scripture this morning, we can see that a God that we serve, our God, is bigger than any problem that can come up. That our God is bigger than any circumstance that can happen. And so many times, we don't understand what he's doing, so we lower him to our status. Well, I just don't know if God can do that. What in the world are you talking about? God can do anything. He saved you, didn't he? He can do anything. He saved me at the age of 7 when I didn't really understand everything about the Bible. You and your situation, maybe some of you, let's just get blunt this morning. Some of you might have been drunks and dope addicts. Some of you might have been really mean people. Some of you might have been really good people that didn't know that you needed Christ. But yet God spoke to you and God saved you. God can do anything. Amen. The kind of God that I serve is not surprised by the storm that I am in. He is not one bit surprised. You know what blesses my heart about this scripture? Because I've read this scripture before and said, how in the world does Jesus sleep through the storm? How in the world with all this going on? How is he asleep back there? It looks like just the motion of the boat and everything else would have wakened him up. It looks like everything else in his surroundings would have awakened him. But as we find, he is still there asleep. The Bible says in the hinder part of the ship. But I want you to know that in the storm that you're in the chaos that we're all in the situations that we're all experiencing, he is not surprised by that situation. He knew when he got on that boat that there was fixing to be a storm. He knew when he stepped foot on that boat that there was fixing to be in the middle of a great storm out here in this ocean. Now, if they had went back there, and if the Bible had said that the disciples went down into the hinder part of the ship, and the Bible had said said, not that he was asleep, but that he was in there going, oh no, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do here. I'm scared. God, I don't know what to do here. Father, tell me what to do. But the Bible says that he was asleep. And what that shows me is he was not surprised by the storm. He was not worried about the storm. He knew the storm was coming the whole time. And in your life, sometimes I know I get panicked about my storm. I know I get worried about my storm. I know I'm surprised by my storm, but I want you to know I'm glad that I serve a God, the kind of God that is not surprised by my storm. He knows what's already waiting for me tomorrow, and he's trying his best to prepare me for tomorrow if I listen to the way that he's trying to prepare me. He's bigger and greater and in control. So there as we find him asleep, it's not that he doesn't care, but he's not surprised. He's not panicked. Well, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it is to get that phone call in the middle of the night. No, I don't. I've never had that phone call in the middle of the night that said something happened to one of my family members. I've never had that call from a doctor that said, this is going wrong in your life. And no doubt that is shocking. No doubt it is an opportunity for us to be fearful. No doubt. And that's the human side of us. And we can't help that. And I'm not saying, boy, if you've ever got that call and it bothered you, then you're just not right with God. I'm not saying that at all. Because if I got that call tonight, I would be in the same shape. If I got that call from a doctor tomorrow, my mind would start racing and I would be the same way. I would be afraid of what's going on. But what I want you to know is the kind of God that we serve is already in control of that situation. He may not come over. Listen, we pray for miracles, and I believe that God can still do miracles. But he might not come over and wave a magic wand and perform a miracle over your situation, your storm that you're in. But I promise you this, on the authority of God, you don't have to take this on my word, because my word may fail. God's word will never fail. He is in control of your storm. I promise you that he is in control of whatever that you're going through. He is bigger and he is greater and he has a plan for the storm that you're going through. If you think about this, let's think about this for just a second. Let's think about some scripture over in John chapter number 6. I'll be done here in just a minute. But in John chapter number 6, you find that Jesus and his disciples have been out and they've been teaching. Jesus has been doing miracles and they got this great following. And all of a sudden, everybody's hungry. All of a sudden, everybody's like, it's supper time, and we have nothing to eat. Might have been Baptist. Very well. We'll get up and leave at lunchtime, if nothing else. But they were staying with Jesus. Man, and Jesus looks over at Philip, and he asks Philip a question. He says, Philip, whence can we go buy bread? He says, where can we go buy bread for all of these people? Now, Philip may have been an accountant. I don't know. Philip, he must have been a smart man. But he looks up and he begins to look around and he can see 5,000 men plus their women and children. And he says, Jesus, it's not even possible to give everybody a bite. It would be this much to give everybody. It's not even possible to do that. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus asked him that question, when Jesus looked at him and said, where are we going to buy bread for all these people? I want you to look what happens. I want to share a verse with you right here. In verse number 6, Jesus asked Philip the question, and he said unto him to prove to him, look what he said, for he himself knew what he would do. When he asked Philip, where can we buy bread? He wasn't asking that to see what Philip thought. He was doing that to make Philip realize what he was getting ready to do. He didn't need to know Philip and how Philip thought. He knew that Philip needed to know who he was. Watch this. Watch what I'm fixing to do. And all of a sudden, one of the disciples stepped up and said, look, we found a little boy over here, and he's got 5 pieces of bread and a couple of fish. Now, I picture this. This is this little boy's lunch. Here he's going out today. He left home. Mama packed him a little paper bag full of some food, and he's probably got 5 little biscuits in there and a couple of sardines. And he's going out for the day. And Jesus says, well, bring here what he's got. The Bible tells us, you know the story. But the point of the story is this, that Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he was in control. And when everything looked like it was out of control, he asked Philip, where are we going to buy bread? But the Bible tells us that he asked that to prove Philip Because he already knew what he was going to do. He already knows what he's going to do in your situation. He's already got a plan. And you can go through the Bible really quickly. You can go through the Bible and you can see many times that situations come up and you look and you say, well, it looked hopeless. It looked like it was a terrible situation, but God had a plan. Adam and Eve, when they sinned there in the garden, it looks like they have done something, and it was terrible. It looked like they had done something that would end everything, but God already had a plan. He went and covered them there in the garden when things got really bad and God knew that he was going to destroy the world. He already had a plan. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and they built a big old ark so that we could continue with this world. When the children of Israel left there out of Egypt and they get out to the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh in behind them, God wasn't surprised. God wasn't panicked. God had a plan. He split that Red Sea and they went across on dry ground. You say, well, that water was probably still about ankle deep, or where they crossed was just ankle deep. I think there's a mistake in the Bible right there. Well, hallelujah if the water was ankle deep. Hallelujah. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I believe it was dry ground. But if the water was ankle deep when they went across, it's even more amazing that he drowned a whole army in ankle deep water. Amen. God had a plan. Here comes the army. He splits the Red Sea. When you find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over there getting ready in the fiery furnace, getting ready to be thrown in, God wasn't surprised. God wasn't panicked. But instead, he showed up and got in the fire with them. He had a plan. When Elijah went against the prophets of Baal, God had a plan. He responded to Elijah's prayers. When Daniel was in the den of lions, God had a plan. When the blood of bulls and goats was no longer sufficient, I'm glad before the foundation of the world that God had a plan. When that sacrifice was no longer sufficient to take away sin, to cover our sin, that God had a plan. And here come baby Jesus to be born in this world for us. When you were lost, aren't you glad that God had a plan for you? Now that this world is in such chaos and there's so many terrible things going on, and we say, how many times or how much longer can this go on? And I have no idea, but I know God's got a plan. I've read the plan. Hannah, if you will, come on. Preacher, what's the point of this message? I don't know where you're at in your life. Man, I'm so sick and tired of talking about chaos, though, in the world that we live in. I want to switch my narrative. I don't want to talk about what's going on. I want to talk about what's going to happen. And if you get to thinking about what's going to happen, all of the chaos will diminish. All of the chaos will take a back seat. See, God's got a plan. I sold my truck this past week. I've been thumbing rides back and forth to work. No, not really. But I sold my truck this past week, and I'm in the notion that I think I got to have a diesel truck. And I don't know why, but that's just the notion. I mean, I'm going to roll coal out of the church parking lot one day. That's what's going I've got this notion that I want me a diesel truck, and I've been looking and looking and looking, and I can't make up my mind. And then I rode the interstate this weekend, and I seen diesel prices anywhere from $3.30-something to $4.05, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on in this world that we're living in? Because you know what? Let's just put it where it's at. If you want to get Christians to thinking, you're getting their finances. That's sad. That's not right. But you get in their finances, you get them thinking, oh no, how am I going to afford this car that I've got? Let's just cover something while we're right here. This was not part of the plan. Maybe God's plan, but not mine. When God says that he's going to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory, that don't mean I might have my $40,000 truck and my $50,000 home, and that's kind of backwards, but anyway. That don't mean, what he's saying is he will supply your need. And our spiritual need is way greater than anything in this world. There's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. I'm not saying that. But it's sad that in order for us to start looking spiritually at our lives, that God has to get in our pocketbook. But as I ride them down the road, and I go, what's it coming to? And then I get thinking about this happening and that happening. And I get to talking to people, and I think about the way the world has changed over the past 5, 6, 7 years. And you see all the changes that come along, and you're like, what in the world is happening to this world? You know what, church? This world is being what the world is supposed to be. It's absolutely what the world is supposed to be. The thing of it is the church is still being what the world is supposed to be. Because we panic when the storm comes. We get all tore up when the storm comes. We start saying, what in the world are we going to do? Well, what kind of God are you serving this morning? He better be the same God that we've been reading about this morning. And I promise you, he's got a plan. For anything that can come our way, he's got a plan. I know it's easy for me to boast this morning because as far as I know, I'm in decent health. But if I get a call from a doctor tomorrow that says I've got cancer, and I'm not saying that lightly. I promise I'm not. I'm just using that because that's something that can happen to any of us in a spur of a moment. We have no idea. But if I got a call tomorrow that said I have cancer, you know what? God's got a plan for me in the middle of that. If I get a call today that my wife and my kids were in a horrible accident on their way home, I don't even like to say that. But if that happens, look, I'm going to need y'all's support. You're going to have to help me to get better instead of bitter. I'm going to go through all of the emotions just like every one of you would. But when I get right down to it, and if I really believe what God's word says, God's got a plan for me in the middle of that. So many times we get panicked and we get so tore up about everything that's going on when really and truly, God's just given us a plan. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. I don't know who this message was for this morning. I don't know what the whole main point of the message was, just to be completely honest with you. The only thing I know is I studied this week. The only thing that I could get on my mind is Jesus being in the hinder part of that ship asleep because he was in control and he had a plan. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you may go through. But maybe God's laying a foundation for us this morning that we'll get settled, that we'll get grounded, and that any situation that comes along our way, to understand and to have faith that God has a plan. But maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I know without a doubt that my sins are forgiven. I'm doing my best to walk with God, but I'm in the middle of one of those storms. I'm in the middle of chaos right now, and it don't have anything to do with gas prices. It don't have anything to do with political mess. It don't have anything to do with anything, but I'm in a storm right now, and I am having trouble believing God's plan. I'm having trouble having faith in God's plan. And preacher, hey, and there is no shame in that whatsoever. I have been there. But preacher, I just need you to pray for me. That's all I'll do. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm in a storm. I see your hand. You put it right back down. I see hands all over the church. There's no shame in saying I'm in a storm and I'm having trouble believing God's plan. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me give you the best plan that's ever been given. That plan was that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And that Son, Jesus Christ, gave his life on a cross and shed his blood that he could forgive you of your sin. And 3 days later, he got up out of the grave and he is sitting in heaven this morning at the right hand of the Father. He will forgive you of your sin. Preacher, I'm here and I'm lost and I've never accepted that plan. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I'll do. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Anyone else? I've never accepted that plan, preacher. I need to be saved. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I pray, dear Father, that during this invitation that you'll help us to move. God, you've spoken to hearts. God, you want to help some people. God, there's some people here that need help. God, I pray that you'll help us to move this morning as this invitation is given. God, move in only the way that you can and help us to respond. We thank you and we praise you for Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen and amen.